although it's not really, I suppose, part of this inquiry, I think it's fascinating to actually read the Franks Committee report on pre-April 1982, because much of what went wrong in the conflict itself was foreshadowed then. A complete inability to actually produce a coherent policy on the Falklands. Britain was in the position of knowing, or having decided, that they were not prepared to negotiate with the Argentines over the Falklands except on the terms set by the Falkland Islanders. Now that may be a reasonable position for a government to take up if it so decides. Unfortunately, they also knew and were consistently told by their intelligence sources that if they took such a decision, Argentina was quite likely to resort to military force at short notice. The neglect by the government was to do anything about it, was actually to plan for the defence of the islands and just to assume that something would turn up. Well, nothing did turn up, and I think you have to imagine the scene in the Prime Minister's room in the House of Commons on the evening of Wednesday the 30th of March. The cabinet were shell-shocked to have finally been told by their intelligence advisers that the Argentines were almost certain to invade on the 2nd of April. They knew there was no time to send any forces to defend the islands, and Thatcher is believed to have said that she thought the government would fall. At this moment of crisis, uninvited, Admiral Sir Henry Leach, the Chief of the Naval Staff, walked in full dressed uniform, having arrived from a private dinner. He assured the Prime Minister that the Navy would save the government, and if they sent a task force, the islands might be recaptured after invasion. This, of course, was what they wanted to hear. At this time, the Chief of the Defence Staff was not in the country, was in New Zealand. And in this sort of vacuum, the Royal Navy took over the whole control of the operation. And they had to make very early on, I think, very crucial decisions about how the operation was to be controlled. Now, the military, from their point of view, how they see the conflict is that they should be allowed to get on with the job without the politicians controlling them very closely. Now, it's the job of the politicians, of course, to balance military action and diplomatic action. That's not the job of the military. The job of the military is to tell them what the forces can do and say this is what we think needs to be done. But it's for the politicians to decide. Now, the military were quite determined that the operation was not going to be controlled from the Ministry of Defence headquarters in Whitehall, where the same building, of course, as ministers were in, and where ministers would have easy access to the Chiefs of Staff room and so on. They decided very early on that the operation was to be controlled by the Commander-in-Chief Fleet at Northwood, one remove from London, and that all communications with Northwood were to be through the Chiefs of Staff. And at the same time, the actual commander of the whole task force would be in Northwood, and there would be a commander on the spot actually running the fleet. That was Sandy Woodward, but he never controlled any of the submarines. They were controlled separately also at Northwood. So already you've got a very complicated picture. And it turned out that during the whole of the operation, the main blockage of information was not between the Falkland Islands and Northwood, but between Northwood and London. On many occasions I remember seeing John Knott's private secretary, and he would be absolutely fuming, and so would John Knott. They could not find out what was going on in the South Atlantic. They would be speaking to Northwood, asking to find out where ships were, being told, well, it's 8,000 miles away, we've only got one satellite, we can't talk to them all, the communications are down, we don't know what's going on. Only when they motored up to Northwood would they find the complete operations picture up on the board with every ship plotted exactly where it was. And the military were not prepared to tell the politicians things that they didn't think the politicians ought to hear. They wanted to keep the operation under their own control. So the information flow was from the South Atlantic to Northwood, then Northwood to the Chiefs of Staff, and then from the Chiefs of Staff to ministers. Ministers didn't have their own knowledge of what was going on. They were dependent on other people to tell them what was happening.